Junk's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond and Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to CropMetcalf.com and you can join their team today. You got a three-man Junk show this open line Thursday. 800-636-1067 is the number if you'd like to call in throughout today's show. So, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night because I went to the Metallica show at Northwest Stadium.
Correct.
Last night.
And the weather sucked for the majority of the day. I mean,
it rained all day.
Rained all day, and but it did stop, I'm guessing, early evening.
Yeah, I want to say around 7 or 7:30, it stopped raining completely.
Right.
Which was great timing.
So, you were driving over there, and it was still raining.
Oh, it was definitely still raining.
Yeah.
Now, the driving over is a little bit of a fiasco because my daughter was going to the concert, and she had a grad school class, which let out at 5:20 in Arlington.
Okay.
So she has to make it from Arlington, allegedly, back to where I am, and it's just not going to happen.
Okay.
So luckily, my wife is a saint, and she got in the car with Brendan and I, or Brendan and me. I never can get that straight.
Right.
We drove to our old stomping grounds, Lanham. Because that's part of the way there for me to get to Northwest Stadium. And it's also my daughter doesn't have to drive all the way out to where I am. And then we drive back.
Mm-hmm.
So we rendezvous there. She piles into my car. We go to Northwest Stadium. Now, before that, the most important key to the day yesterday for me was Jason Bishop giving me Gabe Harris's contact information. Now, Gabe Harris, for those who don't know, the brother of Josh Harris, who owns the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, and the background here is when I worked at Octagon.
Yeah.
Back then, it was called Advantage International, sports marketing / management firm.
Yeah.
In Tysons.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed names to Octagon. Gabe Harris worked there. So that's how I knew Gabe Harris, just kept in touch with him over the years. And Gabe Harris, he actually invited me to the Metallica concert.
He's very nice. He's like one of the nicest guys on the planet.
Matt and Mike. Gabe Harris, who's Josh Harris's brother, said, come to the Metallica concert.
Right.
I will take care of you.
Yes.
I said, negatory.
I just can't believe you'd do
that. Well, you know how long it would take me to get from Ashburn to Northwest Stadium?
A long time.
With the weather and the traffic. It would have taken me freaking 2 hours.
So,
but you know me. I'm not going to go to a 7:45 concert.
So toward the end of the show yesterday.
I know you guys would do it.
Jason's just like, hey, here's Gabe Harris's contact information. I'm like, okay, I'll reach out to him. I'll swing by and say hi. You know, like, as long as I have time. Because I just was not going to have a lot of time.
You were going to rush.
I was going to rush. I wasn't going to see any of the opening acts. I was going to get there basically for Metallica, watch them, go home.
Mm-hmm.
I text Gabe Harris. He's like, here's a better parking pass. Okay. I was like, okay, I'll always take an upgraded parking pass.
Yep.
I believe Black Lot A, like right up against,
right up against the stadium.
1 minute from the stadium entrance. Yeah. Like you walk across like the main ring outside of the stadium and you're right there.
And where was your original pass?
My original pass was, I don't know, it was like half a mile away from the stadium.
It was a while.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been a trek and I was short on time. So that was very nice of him.
Yep.
I was like, sure, thank you very much. Then he says, well, here's three owner's suite tickets.
Wow. And I'm like, see, that's where I would have been sitting.
And I'm like, oh, I was like, you really don't have to do this, but of course I will take them. Now, my background with Gabe Harris, I have met him exactly one time before this. One time.
Right.
At the Scotland USA rugby game at Audi Field last summer.
Oh, nice. I met him at the party at the bullpen.
He's a very nice guy.
Very nice.
Like, he barely knows me.
Nah, but he's...
But he's super nice. And
he's a listener. I've known him for 30 years.
Part of the key was he heard me talking on the show about, like, going to the stadium, eating nachos for dinner.
Yep.
Like, he didn't want that. He wanted me to have a silly upgraded experience.
Right, right. Exactly.
So he upgraded me to suite tickets. Owner suite tickets.
Owners.
Okay, so he throws that on.
Flamac. Owner suite tickets.
Then 2 minutes later, he says, what sizes are you and your kids, like, for Commander's gear? And I was like, you're going way above and beyond. Uh-huh. You don't need to do all this. But I'm an XL. My kids are large. So, you know.
You don't have to do it. But XL,
I'll take it.
Large, medium.
So
hey, he's just hooking you up.
So I get in. We get whisked up to the owner's suite. He hands me a bag of Commander's merchandise. Meanwhile, Pantera's playing their last song, and I timed it perfectly. Do some hanging out, meet a lot of his staff there. Everybody was super cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
how many people were in the suite?
I would say at the height of it, probably about
25,
20, maybe 25.
Yeah.
Now, Josh wasn't there.
Josh was not there.
Yeah. Did his brother, Gabe, ask you to do your terrible Josh Harris impersonation?
Of course he didn't. Do you think he's going to ask me to do that? He's heard me do it on the show before. He's not going to ask for it in person in his brother's suite.
Does he sound different? I did meet him at the bullpen when, what was that, July 20th, a couple years ago, mm-hmm. when the ownership transfer happened.
Right.
When we had the big party, super nice guy.
Very nice.
Yeah, great
couldn't
dude.
Be nicer. I mean, he's literally treating me and my family like we are the
VIPs.
Like the English royal family.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a good dude. Did you meet anybody else in the suite that knew who you were?
Some people that work for the staff, but I can't remember all the names.
Gotcha.
I met like a half dozen people. So then Metallica starts right around 10 of 9, and they just come out of the gates swinging hard. They open with Creeping Death and For Whom the Bell Tolls. Now, for the old heads like me, those are just like wheelhouse tentpole songs. And the crowd just went
What time
berserk.
Did they get on stage?
I think it was like 5 of 9.
Okay.
So almost 9 o'clock.
Right.
So they take the stage. And look, here's another perk of knowing Gabe Harris. By the way, he booked the show. He booked Metallica to play at Northwest Stadium. So he had a pretty big hand in it.
Yeah.
So he goes, do you want the set list? And I said, of course I want the set list, because that's going to tell me exactly when I can leave the owner's suite and go down and buy merchandise.
Yep.
Having, I'm not going to stand in the line like the Rubes for 45 minutes pre-show.
Having the set list is a pro concert move.
Set list is critical.
You can schedule your bathroom break around songs that you don't like. You can schedule your exit.
Yeah.
Like if you're only there for a certain song
and
everything.
So you wanted to leave early.
It is a pro move to scout the set list.
Yeah. All right. So let me pull. I have the set list. So the first four songs were Creeping Death, For Whom the Bell Tolls, Leper Messiah, kind of a deep cut off of Master of Puppets, which is good for the old schoolers, the old people in attendance like myself. And then Memory Remains, which is just a smash off either Load or Reload. I can't remember. But then I saw, now this maybe this makes me a bad fan. I saw the two new songs off of the new album.
Right.
I said, this is when we make the merch run.
Uh-huh.
When they play these two songs, and then they have Kirk and Rob Hammett like doodling around on their guitars and their bass. I said, this is the perfect spot.
It's a great scouting.
So
great
as
scouting
soon as page. Memory Remains is over and the crowd is chanting, we get up and we bother the people at the end of the row. They had to stand up so we could leave, go down and buy the merch, spent way too much money on this t-shirt and a few others, went back up to the suite, watched most of the rest of the concert from the suite because I was like, I'm not leaving the suite to go down into the madness.
Good,
I had good seats too.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm in the owner's suite. You think I'm leaving? I was Leo DiCaprio. I told Gabe Harris, I ain't leaving.
Yeah.
Not leaving.
Yeah.
Okay. So then.
Comfortable up there.
So
food
comfortable.
Drinks.
I couldn't be more comfortable. There's a bar in there. There's food everywhere. It's covered in case there's rain. But got lucky. There's literally no rain.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's about five songs left. Six songs left in the set. And then Gabe Harris, who's rolled out the reddest of red carpets for your boy. He comes up to me and my kids, and he says, "You guys want snake pit passes?"
What is the snake pit?
Snake pit. Oh. The way the setup of the stage is, Metallica is they're playing stadiums. Okay, they play big rooms. They're set up at the 50-yard line. In the middle of the stage is a big area they call the snake pit,
right?
Where the stage encircles it, and I don't know, maybe it fits a few hundred people, 500 people, maybe 600.
Is it that big?
That can gather around in the middle, and you get this amazing, like, 360-degree view of the band.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, we'll take the snake pit passes for the best access in the entire stadium.
Right. You've never been that close to Metallica,
ever in my life. Yeah. So we follow Gabe Harris and his team down, straight down to the floor, right underneath the stage. And all of a sudden, I walk in, and I'm literally 15 feet away from Lars Ulrich and his drum riser. He's right in front of me. Like, he had just finished playing a tune. He's up off the drum riser, you know, like, saying hi to the fans. I mean, it's as far as I'm away from, like, Mike Marr.
It's kind of surreal.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, right.
You know, because, like, I've seen this band live for almost 40 years, dating back to high school. Never been that up close and personal.
So except when we interviewed two of the guys.
We did get to interview Rob Trujillo and Kirk Hammett like 20-some years ago. Yeah. We were at HFS. Super nice guys. Yeah, I mean.
Did Trujillo, or did Lars have his hat on backwards?
He did have his hat on backwards. Oh, yeah. And skinnier than I thought. Like, he's
thin.
So we get led into the snake pit. And we got led in the snake pit for banger after banger, the last five songs of the set. We walk in, they start playing Sad But True. Okay, so that's, I mean, everybody right. knows this ditty.
The song, didn't know the title.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Sad But True is song number one. Amazing. That goes straight into little ditty you may have heard called One, mm-hmm. where fire is shooting off. Flash pots, you know, like fireworks everywhere. You feel like you're like literally like in a war zone.
Right.
But like,
did they have have the big video towers around the stage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like eight the of them. Stage. Yeah.
Yeah.
So one, they finish, that finishes. They launch in an old schooler, Seek and Destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And they drop the big giant yellow and black beach balls down onto the entire crowd. Crowd's knocking them around. There's probably 20 of them.
Are you headbanging the whole time?
Not that much.
I'm just
trying to soak in the scene because...
How are your kids reacting? Because your kids weren't huge Metallica fans,
yeah,
right?
They've kind of been brainwashed by me over the years hearing the music, and they were having a great time. And that was that's the coolest part about it is, like, it's not that cool to share music with your kids and parents. Like, as a kid, you're usually like, I don't want to listen to what my parents are listening to. It's lame.
Yeah.
You know, like, I didn't want to listen to the music my parents wanted to listen to when I was a kid. So to be able to share that with your kids and like in a moment like that was awesome. So they did Seek and Destroy right into Master of Puppets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably the greatest song in their catalog. So that's second.
When did they do The Unforgiven? Was that
Unforgiven was not on the set list.
Oh, they didn't play that.
Not this time. No,
that's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And then
I agree.
They end with Sandman.
Did they say goodnight? Was that their encore, or did they just play?
No encore. They just played straight through.
They just played it.
Did Sandman. And then what I thought was a cool move, after they were done, after the lights come up, like, they just walked around the stage for 8 or 10 minutes, thanked the crowd, threw a billion guitar picks out into the people.
Did
who
you
were,
catch one?
My kid, yeah, we all got like 5 or 6 total.
Very cool.
So it was just a great night. I mean, Metallica, there's a reason that they can still put 60,000 plus into a stadium. Like, those guys are all in their 60s at this point.
Right,
like,
right.
They still deliver the goods.
How long is this tour? Because they were down in Blacksburg, but they played Philly.
They're touring.
I think they went out to Ohio, and then they came back here.
So now they're heading down the Eastern Seaboard. Charlotte is the next stop. Then I think like Tampa. And so then they make their way west. I think they end with a Santa Clara show because they're San Francisco based from back in the day. Right. So end of June, I believe. Then they go on a little vacay, and then they're doing an Australian tour, I think early November before Thanksgiving.
Gotcha.
But just an awesome night.
So
thank
it was
you,
worth-
Gabe, thank you. I appreciate the treatment. We had a great time. I mean, the crowd loved it.
Matt, that's what I would have experienced if I had gone. I would have been owner suite, and I would have been in the snake pit.
Didn't you learn from your...
But I would have got home at freaking 2 in the morning.
God forbid. Didn't you learn from your experience missing one of the world's best meals from one of the world's best chefs that you shouldn't skip out on these experiences?
You know what? I really didn't think about it that much after I missed it. When people talk about it, that's when I think about it. But
you had full FOMO.
Yeah. Because I was fine going back to the lodge at Pebble Beach and having, you know, $100 bottles of wine and eating hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, you had like pizza with your boys, and Thomas Keller, world-renowned chef, wanted to cook you a private meal.
Correct. And I bypassed that too.
All time life, biggest botch.
Man, that's like Mozart saying, "Hey, let me play this ditty for you." Yeah. You go, "Nah, I'm good."
But James Hetfield showing up on his back porch. You want me to do Nothing Else Matters acoustic for you? You'd be like, "Nah."
I'd say no. The Unforgiven, and I'm okay with it.
I think I need to get my beauty sleep.
Eric Clapton was to play the guitar for you, but you'd rather listen to your iPod.
Yep, that's
you
the
guys,
way it works.
All of you would have went. All JP would have gone.
Probably
would
have gone.
Of course, I would have gone.
I know Mike Moore would have gone.
I'd have gone so fast, everyone's head would be spinning.
Yeah, of course. But great night. Hope if you want to weigh in, if you were there last night, 800-636-1067.
So I'm guessing there was
a lot of people.
70,000? Something like that?
I mean, I could maybe text more. Gabe and ask the official number, and I'm sure he would give it to me. But I would say minimum 60,000. Yeah. Because when Metallica first started, it was still filling in, and that was almost 9 o'clock. But a quarter of the way through their set, I looked out into the stadium, and obviously the floor is full, snake pit full, lower bowl packed, middle bowl pretty packed, and some people scattered in the upper deck. So I would guess 60 plus easy, and that might be light.
Did they finish Enter Sandman right around 11?
A little bit before 11 o'clock.
So call it 10:45.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get from the snake pit to your car?
It wasn't that bad because they actually had to hold us in. We were penned in because once Metallica was done playing, they had to get the band off the stage before they let everybody that was inside that little area out.
Right.
So, a lot of the stadium had already emptied out by the time we got out. So, it wasn't that bad. 15 minutes.
And then it took you.
Because, of course, I had to pee.
And it took you roughly an hour to get home?
Hour to get home.
Right.
In the driveway at 12:20, in bed at about 12:30.
So basically no traffic, because it probably, with no traffic, takes you 50 minutes?
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not bad. The traffic to get from the stadium to 495, there was traffic. Don't think there wasn't.
Oh, I'm sure.
There definitely was.
Especially with the weather.
Yeah. So amazing night. Cool to share with
I wonder
my
what
kids.
Metallica gets paid per stadium show.
It's an absurd number.
Yeah, it's just, I would love to know.
Well, just think about
the money. I wonder, Gabe would probably tell me
about
the
money
record.
They made off the black t-shirts they sold just for one night.
Yeah.
It's an absurd amount of money. They got to chop it up a bunch of ways with their crew too, but they're doing all right.
According to this, Metallica makes an average of $6 million to $9 million per concert based on a combination of ticket prices, merchandise sales, and sponsorships.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good gig.
Well, I mean, just think about the last 22 days.
Yeah.
They've probably done 4 shows maybe. Mm-hmm. So they made about 40 to 50 million.
Yeah.
Now they pay out a ton of people. To put on a show, they probably have 50 employees.
Of course.
Easily. Maybe more. All right.
That's crazy.
If you want to weigh in, if you were at the Metallica show last night, give us your experiences. 800-636-1067. That's the number on an open line Thursday here on The Junks.